Today's shir is Masechta Zochim Daf Yotes. We will begin on Daf Yotes Amud Aleph, six lines from the bottom, from the top, Tanan Hasam. Yes, in our previous shir, we learned the halacha of Yitu Begadim. If a Kohen, of course, we know is not allowed to be Mechus Begadim, he's not allowed to wear less than the prescribed, required Big Day Kahuna. But there's also a halacha of Yitu Begadim that he's not allowed to wear, as we learned, more Begadim than what is the halacha. So says the Gemara Tanan Hasan, the Mishnah Masech the Erev and Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis teaches us Kayin Shalaka Etzbad. If a Kayin has a wound on his finger, Karech Alegemi, he's allowed to put on it a type of grass which was used as a refuah for a wound on the finger. He could put it on by Migdash, and as the Rishonim explain, the reason he's allowed to put on the skemi in the base of Migdash is because it's not respectful that he should be standing in the base of Migdash with a open wound on his finger as he's doing the Avodah. However, as we know on Shabbos, there's an Isser to use medicine. There's a Gzeirah Shchikas of Amonim that there's a halacha that you're not allowed to have a medicine applied on Shabbos because Chazal were concerned you're going to come to make the medicine. But there's a rule that ain't shvus b'migdash. Then there's a migdash, these types of concerns of shvus do not apply. Therefore, even though outside the base of migdash, there is a concern about having a medicated band-aid on, it wouldn't be applicable on Shabbos. Tosfos has a different approach to this Gemara. Tosfos' approach to this Gemara is that when you put on a band-aid, there's always a concern that you may come to squeeze out the blood. And therefore, doing anything that could lead to that is also on Shabbos. However, that's a gzeir de rabbanon, and since it's a gzeir de rabbanon, the halacha is it's permitted. The reason why there's no shvus b'migdash is because we have a rule throughout Shas, explained the Rishonim, that kohanim's reason hain, that the kohanim were typically individuals who were very careful and very scrupulous not to do what's wrong, and since they were so scrupulous in the way that they behaved, we need not be concerned that they're going to come to make medicine or any of the other concerns that we just expressed. Amr Avil Medina, but if it's not in the base of Migdash, so as we just explained, Chazal said that Rafu is also on Shabbos, the halacha is that you're not allowed to put it on. Vim Lahoitz Men Adam, if there's an express purpose, as we just mentioned, to squeeze out blood, then the halacha would be the kavakan. Also, you cannot cause that blood should be expressed from a wound on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei Rav Chiya, Lo Shanu, this that we allow to put on this gemi, Lo Shanu al gemi, that's only this piece of grass. It's not considered Yitu Begadim. It's not considered as if you're putting on an extra piece of extra garment. Avot tzitzit cotton, they had like a small belt that was used as a band-aid. That would be considered yitu begadim and would be aser. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, lo yamar yitu begadim, el b'makim begadim. Rabbi Yochanan says, this halacha of yitu begadim, of wearing extra begadim, was only said where normally Big Day Kahuna are worn on a part of the body where there's Big Day Kahuna. Avashloi b'makim begadim, the finger where normally there is no extra, there's no Big Day Kahuna on the finger, then the halacha is that would be loy havayitur, putting an extra begad on a place where normally they're not put is not considered yitur begadim. But ask the Gemara, but without the concern of Yita Begadim, there should be concern of Chatzitza. Why is there no concern that there's a Chatzitza between the hand of the Kayin and the Kli Sharis that he has to carry as he does the avodah. Answers the Gemara. We're talking about where this band aid is on the left hand, or it's on the top of the hand, for example, which are not used for avodah. And since these are parts of the body that are not used for avodah, there's no concern of chatzitza. Or pligi de Rava, he says what Rabbi Yochanan said, that the din of yitu begadim is only applicable on a part of the body where there normally is big day kahuna, is in disagreement with what Rava said. Dama Rava Amar Rav Chisda, b'makim begadim, coin that has a chatzitza, b'makim begadim, in a place where big day kahuna, on a part of the body where there's normally big day kahuna, afilo naima achas chaytzetzes, even a smallest thread would be a chatzitza. Shlevim makim begadim, but it's not on part of the body where they're normally clothing. So then that wach will be shlolish al shalosh. If it's the size of three etzbas, but three etzbas chaytzetzes, it will be chatzitza. Pachs mikan. But if it's less than that sheer en chaytzetzes, it would not be a chatzitza. Says the Gemara. Adrav Yochanan vade pligi. This, what Rava just said, is certainly in disagreement with Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, in a part of the body where there's no big de kahuna, it doesn't make a difference for, according to Rabbi Yochanan, what size it is. It's not considered a chatzitza. So Rava certainly, Rabbi Yochanan, who said if shalosh etzbos, a shalosh etzbos, it's going to be chatzitza, and Rava must be disagreeing. Says the Gemara, Do we have to suggest that Rav is disagreeing with Rav Yehuda Rav Chia? Rav Yehuda Rav Chia said there's a concern that when you put on a tzitzil cotton, that it's an extra baguette, even though it doesn't have shalosh shalos. And according to Rav, if it doesn't have shalosh shalos etzbos, it's not a problem. Answers the Gemara, they're not arguing. Shani tzitzel katan de choshev. Even though the way Rav expressed himself with the shear of gsholosh or sholosh etzpos, it's not limited to sholosh or sholosh etzpos. If it is something significant, a tzitzel katan is considered something choshev, and that's why it's considered chatzitza. Lishna chrina amra, but there's a different version of this discussion. In the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, when we learn the opinion of Yehuda, there is no difference between the two versions, says Rashi, of the Gemara. The nefkamina is only what is going to be the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Says the Gemara, Lishna Chrina Amrila Amr Yehuda Bereid Rav Chia Loi Shana El Gemi. Only a gemi may be worn by the kohen with a wound. Avot tzitzel cotton, when you have the small tzitzel, chaitzitz, you're not allowed to wear it. The way Rashi explains that even though the Gemara is using the word chaitzitz, what is meant here is not because of hilchas chatzitza, because as we just learned, the tzitzel cotton is on a pace on the kohen's hand, which is not used for avodah. The definition of the word chaytzitz here means yitu begadim. When is a chatzitza an issue? When is yitu begadim? The way we're learning now, an issue when it's less than 3 and 3. But makim begadim, if it's in a place where the big dekuna, av shlobim makim begadim, where it's not where big dekuna are. So if it's shalosh or shalosh, if it's the size of shalosh or shalosh, then it's going to be a problem. Says the Gemara, according to this version, Rabbi Yochanan and Rava are really saying the same thing, that even if it's shloi b'mokim begodim, even if it's a part of the body where they don't wear big dekuna, but once it's a beged, that's shalosh, the halacha is that it'll be mutter. This is obviously different than what Rabbi Yochanan said in the first version, because in the first version, Rabbi Yochanan was saying that if what you're wearing is in a place where normally there isn't big day kahuna, the size is immaterial. V'lema pleaded Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei Rabbi Chiya, and again asked the Gemara, should we say that this is in disagreement with Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei Rabbi Chiya, who said that even a tzilzel cotton is a chatzitza? Says the Gemara, no, because shani tzilzel cotton, we can't bring a raya from a tzilzel cotton, even though it's less than 3 etzbos by 3 etzbos. The reason being, because it's chashiv. Or Rabbi Yochanan, my area, according to Rabbi Yochanan, why did he speak about the gemi? According to Rabbi Yochanan, as long as you're allowed to even put on a tzilzel cotton. And Rabbi Yochanan is paskening that even a tzilzel cotton is not considered yita begadim. So why did Rabbi Yochanan tell us his halacha by a gemi, which is smaller? He should have told us the halacha by a tzilzel cotton, that even a tzilzel cotton is not a problem, even though it's like we keep on learning so chashiv. And says the Gemara, what the Tana wanted to teach us was Milsa Agav Urcha Kamashmon. He wanted to teach us the Gemi Messi, that something, that a Gemi is, brings a refuah. And as I saw the Sefer Taras HaKadosh explains, we need to remember that this Mishnah that we've been focusing on in our Shia today is really a Mishnah Masechta Erevin. And the subjects of Masechta Erevin are primarily about Hilchos Shabbos. And therefore, telling us about Gemi, that is there a concern over for when a Gemi, we said there normally is. But we said also that when it's in the Beis HaMikdash, there is no problem of a refuah, because Ein Shavus B'Mikdash was really a very important concept that belongs in Masechta Erevin. Another a pshat that I saw is that the pasuk says Loshin Chachamim Marpe. There's so much to learn from Chazal, and what the Gemara is trying to teach us is that when you're learning our sugya, and we're learning indeed about carrying on Shabbos or in the Beis HaMikdash or Yita Begadim, etc., we also learn through learning Shas what is the way a person can get healed. And here when we're referring to this individual who has a wound and he could put on a tzitzel cotton or he could put on a gemi, actually what we're being taught here is preferably put on the gemi, because the gemi has the ability, lerapos, the gemi has the ability to make a refuah, the tzitzel cotton doesn't. So we're learning here that about hilchos chatzitza, and the learning that anything that shalosh or shalosh etzbos is a chatzitza. The question that we discussed in the previous year, what about if you have one beged kahuna on top of another beged kahuna? So, of course, if you have an avnate on top of the ksinus, it's not going to be a chatzitza. But what will be the when you have something else on top of the beged kahuna? Says the Evan Ezel and the Beis Halevi, they say that even though the Ksoinus doesn't constitute a chatzitza between the Avnate and the body of the Kohen, is because there's a law, there's a halacha that we often come across, Min b'mina ein echaitza, ein echaitzitz. Similar type substitutes do not make a chatzitza. So the Ksoinus is a beged kahuna, and so is the Avnate. So even though he's wearing the avnet on top of the ktsoinus, it's not considered a chatzitza. But anything else would be considered a chatzitza. The Ravid, in explaining this Gemara, when the Gemara just said that gimel etzbos or gimel etzbos is considered a chatzitza, says that Rava is actually only speaking about a case where the Kohen is wearing this chatzitza on his right hand, with which he performs the voida. But having something on another hand, and they say that would not be chatzitza. Rashi and the Rambam disagree with the Ravid. Rashi and the Rambam says that when we speak about the right hand of the Kohen, so there even the smallest chatzitza is going to be a chatzitza. That is nothing to talk about. The issue over here is when the chatzitza is on the left hand. And what the Gemara is teaching us is as follows. That when it's on the right hand, then it's a chatzitza no matter what. When it's on the left hand, it depends. If it's gimel a gimel, at spas, so now you have an issue of yita begadim. If it's on the left hand, then it's not gimel a gimel, so it's not yita begadim if it's less, and it's also not a chatzitza. By Rava. So now the Gemara asks Rava, nichnas lo ruach v'bigdai, in between the body of the Kohen and the Bigdei Kohuna, some air entered. Mahu, can he do the avoida under those circumstances? The question is, al basar b'inan, do we need to have the Bigdei Kohuna directly on the Kohen's body? And we don't have it because we have this avir in between, v'oleka. That's the way people wear the clothing. And as I saw, the Sefer Birkei Yosef explains, what the question here is, what is the definition of al-basaroi? Is the definition of al-basaroi is that there should be nothing between the body of the Kohen and the Bigdei Kohuna, and that's the case over here. Or does the definition of al-basaroi mean that the Bigdei Kohuna have to be directly on the body of the Kohen? And if this avir in between, it's not directly on the body of the Kohen, and if it's not directly on the body of the Kohen, it will be disqualified. Ask the Gemara another question. Kina, if there's a lice between the body of the Kohen and the Bigdei Kohuna, Maush, Tochetz, will that be Chatzitza? Meis Eloi Tebeiloch, says the Gemara, if it's dead, it's certainly Chatzitza. Devadei Chaitza. There's no question that it's a Chatzitza. The question is, Chai, if it's alive. And the question is, Mimarin and Kim Dasova Ozlop, since it's not going to be standing in one place, Revisahi, that's what happens on people's bodies sometimes, and Veloy Chaitz, and it won't be a Chatzitza. Oidilma Kim and the Kapitola, since he's Makbid on it, that's enough to make it into a Chatzitza. The halacha is, what is considered Midaraisa a Chatzitza? So the Halach L'Mosh Mesinai teaches us that Midaraisa, the only situation of a Chatzitza, the Raisa, is if it's Ruba, if it covers most of the body, V'Makbrala, and it's something that bothers. The Rabbanon came along and made a Gzera that if it's Miyat or Makbit, if it's a small amount but it bothers you, or it's Ruba, or if it covers most of the body, V'Ena Makbit, it's always going to be considered a Chatzitza. The question is, does that rule that we just quoted, Alok L'Moshe Mesinai, what is a chatzitza applicable to all hilchas chatzitza? Or in our Gemara, we see that the only thing that the Gemara seemed to have suggested, that since this is something that bothers somebody, that's enough to make it a chatzitza by the Bigdei Kohuna. But it's not ruba, it's just one kina. So that's why many Achronim suggest that our Gemara is teaching us that even though, as we just expressed, the halacha of chatzitza doesn't apply to everywhere else, it doesn't apply to all areas of halacha. For example, at Bigdei Kohuna, that would be different. But then I saw, as we said a few moments ago, that it's not necessarily a good proof, because the discussion in our Gemara is not really related specifically to Hilchas Chatzitza. The subject of Al Gemara is because the Torah, when it speaks about the Bigdei Kohuna, says Al Basaroi. And the Gemara is trying to define what is Al Basaroi, and therefore it's not directly related to Hilchas Chatzitza. Ofer Mashiach Yachetz. What about if there's some earth on the Kohen's body? Do we say Ofer Vadechayetz? Ella says the Gemara, that's certainly chatzitza. It's something that's not supposed to be there. And the Gemara says that's certainly chatzitza. Rather, the question is elavak offer, something that is very insignificant, just some dust. Ma'u will be chatzitza. Beisa sechi ma'u she yochitz. That means if the sleeves of the Bigdei Kohuna were wide and they're not directly on the hand, can the Kohen do to avoid it that way or not? And as we've been learning, Al Basar Binan, we need that the Bigdei Kohuna should be directly on the body of the Kohen. And when we have these wide sleeves for Lekka, we don't have it. Idilma, Derech Levish B'kach. Many times, garments have wide sleeves. And therefore, if they have wide sleeves, it's going to be a chatzitza. So the question is, why is this any different than the question that we began this series of questions with Avir? And I saw there's a very fundamental difference. By Avir, sometimes the clothing somehow could get distant from the body, but it'll come back because the clothing are meant to fit the body. And since the clothing are meant to fit the body, that's why even if they're not right next to, even though they're not right next to the body, it's just temporary. But if somebody makes a garment with wide sleeves, when you have a garment with wide sleeves, that's the way the garment will always be. And that's why the Gemara's question is, what will be the halakha on that garment? Next question. If the Kohen put his hand inside the garment, mahu, gufoi, michayitz, here do we say the body, the hand is all part of the same body? And the question is that considered chatzitza or not? Because as the way the Mefarshim explained this Gemara, we know, for example, if somebody is not wearing a yarmulke and he wants to use his hand to cover his head, that would not be considered a proper covering because it's the hand is all part of your body. That's why maybe here too, the hand won't be considered a chatzitza. Nima, if there's a hair, mashatochitz, will it be chatzitza? Says the Gemara, Nima, a thread, vada chatzitza. El nima mudodelis, if there's a string, a thread from the garment itself that got disattached, what's going to be the halacha mahu? Yot boy ma'aber avashi, yot sara. If the hair of the kohen went down so far, and now it's bebigdai, it's interfering between the bigdai kohuna and his body, mahu, what is the halacha? Do we, again, the question is, sara kegufai, if we say that the hand is not a chatzitza, do we say that one's hair is the same halacha? Eloi, or we don't? Elav kegufa dami, what's not considered part of the hand. So the Rishonim debate, the Gemara says, Yotzasar bebigdoi mahu. So Rashi explains, what does that mean? So Rashi explains that the Kohen's hair grew so long that now it's interfering between his body and the body of the Kohen. The problem with that pshat is that we know that the Torah says regarding the Kohanim, opera la yishlechu, they're not allowed to have long hair. So how can we have a situation where the Kohen has such long hair that it's interfering, that there's a question of it's going to be a chatzitza? Because of this question, Taisa says it's not talking about the hair on the head. The hair on the head of the Kohen may never be that long. It's rather talking about the hair of his beard or the hair of his peis. In explaining Rashi's pshat, I saw that Mefarshim explained that there are two discussions here. Yes, the Kohen is not allowed to be wearing such long hair. And it may even be a question that he's possible to do the Avodah when he has such long hair. But here, we're not talking about that element of Bigdei Kohuna. Here we're talking about the halacha of chatzitza, and the Gemara wants to know, is it or isn't it a chatzitza? Ask the Gemara further, by Reb Zeir, tefillin shmai chutzu. Are the Kohanim allowed to wear tefillin when they did the avoid in the base of Mikdash? Do we say that the tefillin are a beged, and the tefillin are a beged, so then it's going to be considered a situation of yita begadim that we began our shiur today, the kohen is not allowed to wear extra begadim? Or he's wearing them because there's a mitzvah to wear tefillin. And since it's a mitzvah to wear tefillin, the halacha is that it's not considered bita begadim. Says the Gemara, I'll leave it to Mandam, according to an opinion that says, Laila loves man tefillin hu, that the time to wear tefillin is only by day, not by night. Why? Because at night, you don't have to wear the tefillin. So since you don't have to wear the tefillin, you don't have a right to say, well, I'm wearing the tefillin because it's a mitzvah, and therefore, since I'm wearing the tefillin, it's a mitzvah, it should not be chatzitza, because night you don't wear tefillin. And therefore, the Gemara is suggesting, kim de laila chaitzi, since at night they wouldn't be allowed to be worn, yoim nami chaitzi, they will not be allowed to be worn by day also. Ki to bailach, the question is, l'man dam laila z'man tefillin. According to the opinion that says that you could wear tefillin by night. So you could so now the question comes back. My mitzvah the gufi chayitz, do we say that it's a chatzitza or loy chayitz, since it's not a chatzitza? Says the Gemara Galgamel. So this was a question that was discussed in the yeshiva. Well, matl kamed ravami, and it was brought to ravami to discuss. Amle tamar orach biyadenu. We have a long, we have a Kabbalah, the tefillin chaytzi, that the tefillin are chatzitza. Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Brisa says, Kahanim b'avodasam, while the Kahanim are doing their avoda, the Levim b'duchanim, and the Levim are doing their avoda, where they stand on the duchan, on the platform, and they sang as the kabbonis were brought. Yisra b'mamodim, the locha of mamodis is, the Pasuk says, Tzavis b'nei Yisra b'mata leim, as kabbani lachmi lisha reich nichoyach, Tishmaru l'hakrali b'v'yadoi. So the Torah is telling us that Klal Yisrael should be there when the kabbonis are brought. But that, of course, that is impossible. They can't have that all Klal Yisrael should be in the Azara, and they can't have them there every day, because as we know, the Karmat Tamid is brought in the morning and the afternoon. So David and Shlema instituted that should be specific individuals should be in the Beis HaMikdash when the Kabbalists were brought. And they represented Klal Yisrael. And they divided these people into 24 groups. And each group corresponding to each Mishmer, we know the Kohanim were also divided into 24 Mishmeris. And when the specific Mishmer of Kohanim came to do their avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, the people of that Mamed would also be standing there. And actually, as the Gemara teaches us, it wasn't only the Gemara Masechta Tainus, it wasn't only members of Klal Yisrael who were actually in the Beis HaMikdash as this was happening. There were even people outside of the Beis HaMikdash at the various cities sitting and learning and davening, and they were considered the Anshei Mamed. There's a machlokes rishonim. If a carbon was brought without the anshei mamed there, is the carbon kosher or is it disqualified? So again, says the brisa, yisra b'mamodim p'turim min atfilin. They're potter from davening and from tefillin. My love, doesn't it mean that the kahanim don't wear tefillin? And from here the brisa is saying that the potter. But if they wore them, Einem Chaitzitzis. Says the Gemara, that's not the way. So it's an answer to our question. Says Maran Loi, that's not the way to understand the Braisa. Rather, the way to understand the Braisa is that a Menichon, if they put them on, they're not just not supposed to, not required to put them on, but if they put them on, there would be an issue of Chatzitza. Ihochi, says the Gemara, if that's what the Braisa means to teach us, so the wording of the Braisa is not strong enough. Instead of saying Pturim, they're exempt from wearing tefillin, the Braisa should have used the word Asur Mibayle, that they're not allowed to wear tefillin, answers the Gemara. Truthfully, the Kahanim are also to wear tefillin. However, Kivadik Levim Yisraelim, when we speak about the Levim Yisraelim, the Loi Masna Behem, that by them, if they wear the tefillin, it's not a problem. They're not wearing Big Day Kohuna. So the word osur is not the right word to use. And the only right word to use there is peturim. So mishmaka tani peturim. So that's why the word peturim is used by about is used by them as well. Says the Gemara, Fatanya minichan ein chetzetzus. But the Brisa says if they did wear them, they won't be a chetzitza. Says the Gemara, loish kasha. Hodiyad, when are they a chetzitza? Because when they're worn on the yad, that the tefillin shel yad serve as a chetzitza between the straps of the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin box, between the big tekuna and the hand of the koyin. Hodiroish, there's enough, as we're going to learn on the tefillin shel roish, there is no concern of chetzitza, and that's why it's not a concern. Says the Marmashna Diyad, why are we saying by the yad it's considered chatzitza? The ksiv yilbash al besoroi, shleidava chaytus beinay lebesoroi, that the tefillin cannot serve be there as a chatzitza between the koyin body and the big dekuna. So says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, so then by the tefillin shorosh one we say the same. Ksiv asantum it's nefes al roishoi. So how can we have the tefillin shorosh? Answers the Gemara, Tana, the Brisa taught us, Sarai and Erbin sits the Mitznefes. There was room between the Mitznefes. The way to understand this, I always understood, is that the Mitznefes did not cover the entire head. It was more towards the back of the head. And Shah Manich and Tefillin, and therefore there is going to be place to put the Tefillin there, because the Tefillin is going to be around the Mitznefes, around the place of the Mitznefes that's on the head. And therefore, it's not considered an act. Therefore, it's not going to be considered a situation of chatzitza because there's room there without there's room there for the tefillin shel roish. The Gemara said that the Gemara did say clearly that the patur min atayim tefillin, and the reason the part of atayim tefillin. We didn't say asurim, but peturim, because there's a rule, oisuk b'mitzvah, potum in a mitzvah. And since they're involved in putting on, and since they're involved in the avoiding the base of mikdash, oisuk b'mitzvah, potum in a mitzvah. But there's a very fundamental machloikis in how to understand oisuk b'mitzvah, potum in a mitzvah. Opinion of Taisus and the Rosh and the Ritva is that oisuk b'mitzvah, potum in a mitzvah, is only in a time where it's impossible to do both mitzvahs. For example, they say, if we're going to say that if you're doing one mitzvah, then you're potter from doing any other mitzvah, we're going to have a fundamental problem. Because we wear tzitzis, we wear tefillin, and therefore we shouldn't have to ever do any mitzvah, or isu mitzvah, potter min a mitzvah. The Arzuru and the Rambam says that isu mitzvah is part of a mitzvah, even if you could do both mitzvahs. Of course, that's very difficult to understand because they have the question that the other Rishonim ask. So does that mean you won't have to ever do a mitzvah? So they answer that Oisuk mitzvah means that if in any way that mitzvah is taking up your concentration, you don't have to do another mitzvah. And that's going to be the discussion in our Gemara as well. The Kohanim, leave the Kohanim out because the Chatzitza, the Levim and Yisraelim, they put on the tefillin, but then they go to the Beis HaMikdash. Will that be considered Oisuk mitzvah, Potum in a mitzvah? So certainly according to the opinion of the Ran and the Rambam, it's considered Oisuk b'mitzvah because they're busy with the tefillin even though they didn't put them on. The question is, what Taisus is going to say, why is this considered a case of Oisuk b'mitzvah, Potum in a mitzvah when he doesn't have to be doing anything at that time. He put on the tefillin already. Why is that considered oisuk mitzvah, potum in a mitzvah? But one thing we see for sure, that the tefillin are a chatzitza between the hand of the kayin and the head of the kayin. The Sefer Cheshuki Chemin has a discussion. What is the halacha if somebody put on tefillin, and then he discovered that there was a chatzitza between his tefillin and his hand. He didn't realize, for example, that the sleeve of his shirt was sticking out and that he had put the tefillin on the sleeve of a shirt, would that be considered a chatzitz? What should he do? So he quotes the Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim Simach of Zayin Sif Dalid that says Lo Yidava Chaytzitz Beit Tefillin L'Psorei. You may not have any chatzitz between the tefillin and his body. Lo Yishnal Shayad, Lo Yishnal Shorosh. It doesn't make a difference between tefillin Shayad and tefillin Shorosh. And he says further, Adam Shu'olol Nazilus V'Mitzdarach L'Nich Tefillin Shorosh Al B'Sorei Lo Yinichim Klal. That if somebody has some sort of an issue on his head and he was going to have to wear tefillin, he's not going to be able to put the tefillin directly on his hair. The halacha is yesh lahatalay laniach tefillin shel roish al hakoiva dak hasamach l'roish. The halacha is you could put the tefillin if you have something thin between the head and the tefillin shel roish v'chasim, but it should be covered up mivnei haroyim v'neichem b'derech zeh. But if somebody puts on tefillin this way, the tefillin shorosh, leivarcha shorosh, we make a bracha al mitzvah tefillin and tefillin shorosh. Such an individual should not make a bracha on tefillin shorosh. He should only make a bracha of l'nich tefillin the tefillin shayad. So the mekar for halacha that you now have a chatzitza is our gemara that says that a chatzitza is a issue. There is, however, as we saw, a nafgamina between the tefillin shel roish and the tefillin shel yad. But there's a machlokes we shine him on this. The Rosh is much stricter, and the Rosh's opinion is that both by tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel roish, that there is a chatzitza, and that's actually why the halacha differentiates. That is exactly why the halacha differentiates between tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel roish. The poskim, however, seem to all be in agreement that if somebody, rachman atzlan, is wearing unfortunately has a cast on, then everybody will agree that that is considered a chatzitza. Another important halacha that comes out from our Gemara, going back to the beginning of the shir, is that we spoke about things that are on the hand when the kohen is doing the avodah, and they may be considered a chatzitza. The question is, if somebody's wearing a ring, for example, or wearing a band-aid, the halacha, and then he has to do on sukkos, the mitzvah of dalaminim, would that band-aid or ring be considered a chatzitza? The Debrezina Rav has a discussion about this shayla. If these types of things are a chatzitza, he says that it would be better to remove them, that there shouldn't be a question, but l'halacha, it's not considered a chatzitza. Agamar also spoke about the hair being a chatzitza. And the question is the hair allowed to, the hair, if somebody has long hair, considered a chatzitza for wearing tefillin shel roish? The Kozel Gavarov in the Shalos Tshuvos Eretz Tzvi Simen Zayin discusses this question, and he says that only if it's hair that one intends to remove, and we discussed in our previous year the concept of kol ha'im aligzos kegozos dami, that the halacha views anything that is going to be taken off as if it's considered off. But if it's not here that it is your intention to remove, then it wouldn't be considered a chatzitza. Says the Gemara Mechusa Kippurim that the Mishnah taught us that if a person had to bring kabbonis because he was tamei and he didn't bring them, he does the avoida, such a coin, he disqualifies the avoida. Says the Gemara Menalem, from where we notice halacha. Says the Gemara Amar Vuna Amar Kra. The pasuk says by Yoledes, Vim lo simtzu yada de se, v'locha shtei sorim v'shnei b'nei yoyna echel oyle v'echel chattis, v'chipa alav a coin v'tahara. Tahara, with the first it says, tahara mechlal shei temeya. That till now, the Yoledes we know has to bring kabbonis. And what the Torah HaKadosh is teaching us is that until the Yoledes brings the carbon, she's tamei. And if she's tamei, then of course any carbon that she brings under such circumstances will be disqualified. The Mishnah taught us that they have to do kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. They have to go through the procedure of sanctifying, washing the hands and feet, as we're going to be learning, before you do the avoda. And if you didn't do, if the kohen did not do it, the avoda is pasul. Ask tomorrow, how do we know this halacha? Ask your chukam chus begodim. We've been learning in our shiurim that if somebody, if the kohen is not wearing the big de kahuna, it becomes disqualified. And now we have a gzeris shava that that is the halacha to the by shloi rochot v'dayim v'raglayim. Tana baran kohen gadol shloi tava v'shloi kiddush. Of a kohen gadol on Yom Kippur, the halacha is that between the various avoiders, he had to change his clothing. It says the price of kohen gadol shloi tava v'shloi kiddush be'begel beged. If he didn't go to the mikvah and didn't do kiddush v'dayim v'raglayim, which was actually done twice, between changing the big day kuhuna, bein avoida la avoida, v'avod avodasa k'shera. Says the Gemara, says the Brisa further, however, echa kohen gadol v'echa kohen hedyot, both the kohen gadol or kohen hedyot, shloi kiddush yodah v'ragl of shachris, that didn't do kiddush yadayim v'raglayim in the morning of Yom Kippur, v'avod and then attempted to do the avoida, the halacha is avodasa p'sula. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Asi L'Rav Yochanan Michti, Chamish Tfilas V'Sara Kedushin. The Kohen Gadol went to the mikveh five times, and he did Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim 10 times. The Raisa, those are obligations that the Torah teaches he has to do. Furthermore, he asks Chukah Ksibo. Regarding these things, the Torah says that regarding the Avodah of Yom Kippur, the Pasuk says, V'hoyselam l'chukas oylam. So ask the Gemara, since the Torah uses the words V'hoyselam l'chukas oylam, la'akvu, it should teach us that if you didn't do it, it's essential to the avoid, and if you didn't do the avoid, it's disqualified. Amalei, says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, that Pasuk that we just read, says before that Pasuk, the Pasuk says, V'rochetz b'mayans b'sara v'leveisham. And therefore, and the question is, the Pasuk already says that he has to wear the big day kuna. The Pasuk says, Ksoin is bad, kodesh yilbash. So why does the Torah say yilbash? Why does the Torah say the word yilbash to teach a second time? So we have mentioned in our shurim that when we speak about kachim, shana lava kasav lakav, whatever is mentioned twice is essential. To teach us, levisha, the big day kuhuna, the kohen wearing the proper big day kuhuna is makevis, is essential. Vein davar achem makev, anything else is not. Tzav panov, says the Gemara, that Rav Asi was very happy to hear this explanation. Amlei vava ofsi kosvulach. It's not a good pshat. And it's the way to view it is like the letter vav would be written on a cracked piece of wood. If the letter vav were written on a cracked piece of wood, you cannot really read the letter. Yehochi, because if that's the case, that the Torah is concerned about levesham, about you, what you're wearing, nothing else, so then we said before that the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim that's done in the morning is absolutely essential. But ask the Gemara, according to the way we're learning now, that ought not to be the halacha. The Tzafanami, even the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim should not necessarily be essential. Amachiski amakra. The pasuk says v'rochtzi yadayim v'raglayim v'lo yemusu v'oyslam choyk oylam zoy loy lazaro deroysam. Dova mak bizaroy. The kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, which is important by all kahanim, makaboy, is going to be essential by the kohen gadol as well. Dovish a mak bizaroy. But the other things, the going back and forth on Yom Kippur, which is only relevant to the kohen gadol, the kohen hedyot does not do all of those avoidas. A makabai is not essential by the kohen gadol. Rav Yonason, I'm a mahacha. Rav Yonason learns these halachas from here. The pasuk says, "V'rochtzu imena Moshe Aaron uvonav asudemus regleim." The pasuk connects Aaron to his children, and therefore the pasuk is teaching us, "Dava makabavonav," something that's essential by Aaron a kohen's children, the kiddush yadayim regleim in the morning, is essential by Aaron. Davish ein makabanov ein makabai, something that doesn't apply to his descendants doesn't apply to him, is not essential by him. What does it mean Moshe did Kiddush Adayim Raglayim? Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't a Kohen. The answer is that although Moshe Rabbeinu was, of course, not a Kohen, but Moshe Rabbeinu did the Avodah during the Shemoneh Shemei Meluim. And therefore, since Moshe Rabbeinu was the Kohen during the Shemoneh Shemei Meluim, he's considered, he also is considered an individual who did Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. Rabbi Yonatan asked the Gemara, Rabbi Yonatan, my lama with Chizkiah, why did Rabbi Yonatan not agree with Chizkiah's limud? Amlachahu, that pasuk that Chizkiah learned from is Ladaris Vudiksiv, to teach us that Aaron's children have to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, but it's not here to teach us a Hekesh. Vidach, and Chizkiah, why doesn't he learn from the words Loy Lazaroi? My Tamalayim Mahai, Mibaylei, because he needs that for different Limud. He needs it for Rabbi Yosef of Chanina. He needs it for Rabbi Yosef of Chanina. Taught us that Rabbi Yosef of Chanina called kier shebei kadeil kadosh abra kahanim emenu. Any kier that doesn't have enough water to be mekadosh for kahanim, a mekachin by cannot be used. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'rochsum menu Moshe is one. As we said a moment ago, because Moshe Rabbeinu is considered a kohen during those days, Aaron or Banav, his remaining children, Elazar ben Asamar. The fundamental machlokes Rashi and the Rambam had to understand the halacha that the Gemara just taught us. Rashi says that this is coming to teach us the size of the kiyar. And what the Gemara is teaching us is that the size of the kiyar, the size of the kiyar has to be big enough that it could have water that could do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim for four people. That's the way Rashi learns. But the Rambam learns differently. The Rambam learns that the Gemara is teaching us that there has to be enough water in the kiyar that four people could have Kiddush Adayim Raglayim from it. Tana Bana Ketzah Mitzvah Kiddush. How do we do the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim? Meniach, the Kohen puts Yad Yeminis Agabu Ragli Yeminis, his right hand on top of his right foot, Yod HaSmolos Agabu Ragli HaSmolos, his left hand on his left foot, Umekadish. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Menich Shadav Zel Zu, he puts his two hands, one on top of the other, and then Agabish Dei Regleif, and then he puts those two hands on top of his feet, Zu Agav Zu, Umekadish. Amalai, Heflakta. So the Talmidim, the colleagues of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda said that this is impossible. It's not possible for a person to stand that way. Says the Gemara, Shapa Kamalei. Says the Gemara, it's a great question. The reason it's doable is because the friends of the Kohanim, the other Kohanim, help him do so. Says the Gemara, my benai, what is the basis of the machloikus of the Chomer Rabbi Yossi? On my baya, I made them in a tzaddik benai. The machloikus is, if you need somebody to help you do something, is that considered you did it independently? Amalei Rav Sama Breda Rav Asher Lervina, the lace of Mesav Lakadish, why can't you do it when you're sitting and leaning on something and you wouldn't need somebody else to help you? Says the Gemara, that isn't an option. Because on the Kroh, the Pasuk says, Bevayel al Moed, the Pirate says that doing Kiddush Adayim Raglayim is an act of Sheiris, and Sheiris, Mumar Hu, Sheiris is always done standing. Tana Rabbanan, Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. If you did Kiddush Adayim Raglayim during the day, and then you continue doing Avoid in the base of Mikdash, as we're going to learn, they used to do Haktaras Amrim in the evening. The Loch is Ein Tzarech L'Kadosh B'Laila. You don't have to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim in the evening again. But if you did Kiddush Adayim Raglayim in order to do something in the base of Mikdash at night, Tzarech L'Kadosh B'Yoyim. When the morning comes, you're going to have to do new Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, even if you haven't left. Devi Rebbe. Shai Rebbe Amelina Ma'elas. The fact that the night ended, Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, it causes the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim that you did yesterday to expire. You have to do it again. Lazar of Shimon, Aymer, Ein Lina Ma'elis, Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. That it's not a concern. Tanya Idach, Hayo Aymer and Makriv. If the kohen is standing and doing avoda on the mizbeach, agab mizbeach kol alayla la'ira, as soon as the mudah shachar comes, ton kiddush yidayim v'raglayim divrei Rebbe. Rabbi Lazar of Shimon Oimer kivish kiddush yadav v'raglayim b'tchilas avoda. If you did kiddush yidayim v'raglayim before you started the avoda yesterday, I feel mikam v'asar yomim. Even if you're doing avoda for 10 days. Ain't tzarach l'kaddish. Of course, the Mefarshim ask, how can you be doing avoda for 10 days and a person can't survive 10 days without sleeping? And therefore, many suggest that 10 days here is lav dafka. And I even saw the gersos that say 3 days, not 10 days. The tricha. Why do we have to have the same machlokes twice? The Yashmina Kamaisa, if we had only the first brisa, but he come a Rebbe. That's where Rebbe says that the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim expires. The Pasuk lay, ben avoida. He stopped doing an avoida. Avbahan, the second brisa, the loy Pasuk lay, he's been continuously doing the avoida. Ema, Maidalei Rabbi Elazar of Shimon, that a new Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim is not required. And if Ashmina Baha, if we only had the second brisa, we would suggest Baha. In that case, since he's continuously doing the avoida, Kamar of Lazar of Shimon, that you don't have to do a new Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Av Baha, where you stop doing the avoida, Ema Maidalei LeRebbe, maybe he agrees to Rebbe that the halacha is that you have to do a new Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Tzricha, that's why it was necessary to teach us both brises. Ask the Gemara, my Tama the Rebbe, why does Rebbe hold as soon as Amura Shachar comes, you have to do a new Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? Says the Gemara, the Ksiv, because the Pasuk says, Oy Begishtam, and every time we come anew to the Mizbeach, that's called a new Gisha, it's coming a new time that we're coming close to the Mizbeach, that's why we have to do a new Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. My time, the Relozer of Shimon. Why does the Relozer of Shimon not agree with that? Says the Mar, because the Pasuk says, Bebayom. Only when you leave the Beis HaMikdash and you come back in, do you have to do a new Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, otherwise not. Ask the Gemara, Vidach Nami, what will Rebbe do with the word Bebayom? Says the Gemara, answers the Gemara, Iksib begishtam for likes of Bayim. If the Torah would have just said gishtam and not Bayim, have a mina a kogish vegisha. That every time you come to Mizbeach, even throughout the day, you're going to have to do a new Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Kas Rachman Rabayim. So what we're learning here is that for every gisha, you do a new, every time you come, every new day you do a new Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, but not every time during the day you come again to the Mizbeach. Vidach Nami, Rav Shimon, Chaksib Gishtam, what's he going to do with the Gishtam? Answers the Gemara, Iksiv, he says, Iksiv Abayim V'lo Iksib Gishtam, Avaminia, Afilu Abir Akonis. If somebody comes into the Beis HaMikdash without the purpose of doing Avoida, he would have to do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Teaches us that you only have to do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim if you're going to do the Avoida. Says the Gemara, how can we think that if you're not doing the Avoida, you have to do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? Abir, Akonis, Aksiv, the Pasuk says, L'sharis, you only do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim when you do the Avoida. El Begishtam Abayle, he needs the word Begishtam for what Rav Acha Bayakov said. Domer Rav Acha Bayakov, the halacha is that, as we mentioned earlier, that between avoidas, the Kohen Gadol did Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim between the different avoidas. And the question is, when did he do the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? Was it while he was wearing the clothing that he did the previous avoid in? Then do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, and then take off those clothing, go to the mikvah, put on the new set of clothing, and then do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, or not. The Amar Vach Vayak Vach Amayim B'Kiddush Sheini Shekul Lovish Mekadosh. That when you're wearing the Big Dei Kohuna, only then that you're going to do the next Avoida in, do you do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. My time, the Makro Abigoshtim. Do you have to do the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? But the Gemara is saying is, even if there's a Machlaikis by the first Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, there is no Machloikis on the second Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, and therefore, since it's therefore Einer mechutz al gish bovad, yosu zesh mechutz al vish v'gisha. Says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, lahak de isha, v'gishtam mizbeth l'shos, lahak de isha l'ashem. Ask them, lahak de isha l'amali. Ask them, ma de teima, hanimela, v'avoy de mak v'kaporo. That when is kiddush adayim reglayim required? By an avoyda, which is essential. Avol avoyda loy mak v'kaporo. If it's an avoyda that's not essential, loy, you don't have to do, like we learned earlier, for example, like Taurus Amarin, which is not absolutely essential, Kamash Malan, that even for that, you have to do Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim.